We are getting together this morning to listen to God's word. I'd like to read that word for you. We'll begin with John 9, John 9, verse 24. And the reason we begin with John 9, verse 24 is it sets the context. And I think it's very helpful in light of what Jesus is teaching here, that we understand the context of what is going on with Jesus' revelation of himself as the door. So what happens in John 9 is they encounter Jesus with his disciples, encounter a man who is blind from birth. And the disciples ask this question about who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind. And Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me. While it is day, night is coming when no one can work. And so, again, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And Jesus has taught that earlier as well, and we looked at that last week. So in light of who Jesus is, and in the light of this revelation that Jesus is healing this blind man, what happens is this blind man is then confronted by the Jews. And they're confronted by him because Jesus healed him on the Sabbath day. And they asked him if he'd been born blind, and sure he had, and who this man was who healed him, and he didn't know. But then we pick up our reading in verse 24. Verse 24. So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner, that this man is the man who healed him, because he did it on the Sabbath day. This man is a sinner. He answered, whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. They said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He told them this earlier. He answered them, I have told you already and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? And they reviled him, saying, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. The man answered, why? This is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, you were born in utter sin, and would you teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, and who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, are we also blind? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now you say, we see. Your guilt remains. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. excuse me, a stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And that's our text this morning. I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Excuse me. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. As we listen to God's word, we're going to be looking again at this text, and it's very difficult because it's blended so well with the revelation of what Jesus is teaching about him being the good shepherd. But we're going to try. It is a distinct text that we are dealing with, and Jesus is revealing about himself. But it is a rather difficult text as well. And verse 6 reminds us, Jesus used this figure of speech that he is the door, and many did not understand. So he reveals more to them. And as we look at this, as I was preparing for this morning's message, I read Augustine's sermon on this chapter, and what he said is very appropriate. And so I'd like to share that with you. He has a comment on this passage. He says, God gives us the plain teaching for our food. And so the plain teaching is, I'm the light of the world, or I am the good shepherd. We deal with him as the door this morning. And Augustine said, God gives us the plain teaching for our food. He gives us the obscure for our exercise. Because we need to work, we need to labor, we need to sweat it out. He gives us the plain teaching for our food. He gives us the obscure for our exercise, to strengthen our spiritual muscles. And so that's what we're considering this morning. As we look at this obscure, we can't just eat the easy stuff. We have to use the hard stuff, and we have to exercise with that. So let's begin as we focus on God's word this morning. What is it about Jesus' person and work that he is revealing when he identifies himself as the door? I am the door. Now, I'd like to consider two aspects of this morning. First of all, the first one is the contrast. The contrast between Jesus and the others. And then, secondly, the comfort. The comfort. So the contrast and the comfort to understand what Jesus is teaching about himself. And he distinguishes himself from others around him. So verse 7, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And then verse 8 is the contrast. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. He uses a similar contrast in the first verse. He who does not enter by the sheepfold, enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, is a thief and a robber. The thief is someone who steals. And is Jesus just saying the same thing twice? I'm a thief, I'm a robber. I think he's saying something unique, something different. A thief is someone who steals. The idea of robber includes stealing, but it's a bit broader than stealing. This was Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot is identified by this. And some translations will have that. And he was an insurrectionist. That means he was someone who despised authority. Someone who would not yield, who pushed his position and would only look out for his own self-interest. So the thief is someone who steals. This next robber idea is someone who's underhanded. It's the other men on the cross who are crucified with Jesus, and Luke identifies them not only as robbers, but also as murderers. They are people who are willing to take life in order to get what they want. They disrupt peace and the well-being of an established order. They are always turning the tables. Here, and in God's word here in chapter 10, it's those who don't go in by the door. They don't use God's prescribed way of entering the sheepfold, of caring for and tending the sheep. They don't follow God, they do it their own way. And the context is very important in understanding what Jesus is talking about. What he's referring to particularly is the Pharisees and the leaders, particularly in the framework of this blind man who has been healed and whom they have kicked out of the synagogue. He's referring to those in his day who had religious power and who were constantly attacking him and questioning his work. In the same way that they interacted with Jesus, they interacted with those who followed Jesus, and they interacted with this blind man who had been healed by Jesus. He was put out of the synagogue, that place where they were devoted to God's word, that place where they were to be worshiping God. He was excluded because he testified about Jesus, that he was from God. And this was intolerable according, not to God's order, but according to the authority of the Pharisees, the authority, the religious authorities of their day. You heard the amazing testimony. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. There's something divine about this miracle that Jesus performed with the blind man, and even the blind man could see it. It was obvious. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. What an astounding testimony. Here is the sight of the blind, a spiritual vision. That says, this man's work, Jesus, what Jesus has done is something divine. And this was too much for the Pharisees, too much for the Jews. And Jesus is using this revelation of himself as a door, as a warning against the misuse of authority. And we misuse authority, we misuse our possession, when our desire is to protect our position rather than to show and reveal the work and the need of Christ. This is a warning for leaders in the church. Church history is riddled with those who are thieves and robbers in God's kingdom who've tried to creep in and to steal the sheep, making them followers of man rather than followers of Christ. And they misuse their authority, pushing their opinions, riding their hobby horses rather than following God's word. Offering wrong teaching about who God is, about Jesus, about man. And it doesn't mean that they're unlikable, but they're wolves in sheep's clothing. Their heretics have often been the most well-liked, popular, lovable, gifted leaders. And we have to be so careful, and this is a summons for all those who lead God's people, and myself included. We need to be so careful because we can destroy the door by removing a barrier that should be there, making other entrances. Barriers are removed when parts of God's word are neglected. And we overemphasize and we focus simply on what salvation means, and we forget about judgment. And we think that Jesus has simply come to make everything better, but for some it makes things worse. And we remove and we minimize the full comprehensive teaching of God's word. Or maybe it's not barriers removed. Maybe it's false barriers put up. Extra levels of protection to keep things safe. Like the Jews here. We're disciples of Moses. It sounds so pious. We follow God's word. We want this work to be done according to our measure of things, not according to Christ. And they eliminate the gospel of Christ. And this happened early on in the church. Early on, the church needed to wrestle with these realities. And in the book of Galatians, one of the earliest epistles written, there was this error that was creeping into the church. That, well, if you really wanted to be a Christian, you need to be circumcised. You need to follow the Old Testament ceremonial law. Foods that are clean and unclean need to be maintained. Extra levels of protection. Oh, Christ saves, and yes, indeed, that's true, but we need to add to that to really be secure in our walk with God. Jesus comes and he says, be careful. I am the door. I am the entrance and the exit of the kingdom. Don't remove the barriers, don't add barriers. And so often the church has wrestled with this. There's dangerous and deadly ideas that lead the sheep astray from the fold. Martin Luther, I think, likened it to a drunken priest on a donkey either falling into one of two ditches, either taking away from the law with lawlessness or adding to the law in legalism. And how careful we need to be. And Jesus' intent on showing how different his place is in the kingdom. He's come from the Father. He's come to secure the sheep. He's come to be the door. He's come to call the sheep to himself. And the image is taken from the way sheep were cared for in that day. He says, my sheep will hear me. They'll listen to me. And they won't follow a stranger. They won't go out the wrong door. They'll follow the right door. And the way it worked in those days is they would have one area that was used collectively by all the shepherds, and they would bring the sheep into that one area for the night, and there would be one door, and so one shepherd would be responsible for guarding the sheep through the night so that they wouldn't go out through that one door, and no wolf would come in through that one door. And the rest of the shepherds could get their rest through the night, and then in the morning the shepherds would come and they would call out to their sheep, and they would call them by name. And the sheep, when they heard their shepherd's voice, they would come through the door, and they would go with their shepherd to go and feed in the green pastures. And so it is with Jesus here. The focus of the contrast is how rightfully placed Jesus is to keep the sheep secure that the Father has given to him. And that's the wonder of, of who he is. He's come to be that security for the sheep. And now we're getting into the second point, the comfort of Jesus as the door. But before we get there, we need to deal with these thieves and robbers. Who is Jesus talking about here? He says, all that came before me are thieves and robbers. Who is he talking about? Now, some will take that as a reference to the Old Testament, that Jesus has come to set a new way, but that's not the case. It's not the prophets, it's not the priests, it's not Moses, it's not John the Baptist. Everything up to this point wasn't wrong. Because remember that Jesus is the Word made flesh, and where that Word of Jesus was made known, whether through Moses or through the prophets or through John the Baptist, those who rightly handled the Word brought the people to Jesus. But where the Word was misused, either by neglect or overemphasis on legalism, those who misused the Word did not know Christ. And they're warned here, realize who you are. You're a thief and a robber, and you must be punished. And that's the issue that Jesus is bringing to God's people here. I know not only my sheep, I know who I have to guard my sheep from. There are thieves and robbers, and I will guard them also. That's what he's doing with this man born blind. Yes, he's come to secure his life and to guard him from these shepherds who misuse their place. That leads us, secondly, to consider the comfort. The comfort. What comfort does it bring, Jesus as a door? Now, often we think of a door as an object, and what comfort is there? But you know what it's like on a cold, frosty morning, and the heat is going, and someone leaves the door open, and all of a sudden you feel this rush of cold air, and you say, hey, who left the door open? There's comfort in this objective door. There's safety, there's security. And the essential character of this comfort derives from hearing Christ call. He calls his sheep from his word. This is the call of the gospel to weary sinners. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy and my burden and light is light. This is the call of the shepherd to the herding sheep to find refuge and security in his fold. He is the door. This is the call of the shepherd to the people who are like the blind man, who testify to the truth, who live for the gospel, who make known the wonder of what God has done, and they're shunned and despised and rejected by man. Isolation is one thing, but here is exclusion. This man is kicked out of the synagogue. That place which was to be a refuge, that place where he was to come and to hear the word of God, he's kicked out because he doesn't follow the party line. There are those who are wrongly excluded. There are those who are rightly excluded. And there must be exclusion for those who deceive and who distort the way of Christ, whether with legalism or lawlessness. The door excludes, but the door also opens, and it includes. It includes those who stand for his glory. This is what Jesus teaches. And Jesus teaches that there's more than just survival. The thief comes only to steal and to kill, but I came. I came that they, those sheep who come through the door, those sheep who hear the good shepherd, may have life and have it abundantly. He cares for his sheep in such a way that they will have an abundant life. Even in the midst of exclusion, they will have life. It's Jesus' assurance. But the life I give you, no one will be able to steal it. No one will be able to destroy it. There is no other way to have this life than through the door. When he is the door, the sheep will follow. Sheep will follow someone other than robbers and thieves. Robbers and thieves, they don't recognize. They don't recognize their voices. They follow Christ. Jesus is the word. Jesus will identify those who are thieves and robbers, those who don't focus on him, and he will guard his sheep from that because he's the door that excludes as well. And how is this abundant life guaranteed? How is it secured? How are you safe in this? Well, that's next week, because the Good Shepherd knows his sheep and he lays down his life on their behalf. Here is the door. Jesus said, "I am the door." What is he revealing about himself? He's revealing that he is the one who brings life and brings it abundantly, and there's comfort and there's security in your entrance or your exclusion through the door. And so he calls you, as he's called us throughout the gospel, come to me, find life, have life, and know that your life is secure